Have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. I do want to thank you for having me and Brother Levi. We've certainly enjoyed our stay and sad that it's coming to a close so quickly. But I love you all, and I hope the Lord continues to bless the church here in Dallas, Georgia. I'm going to have no problem staying awake because I brought my coffee up here. It's also my illustration. Oh, cheers, Brother Victor. All right. I figured I could have an illustration in a church that has two big screen TVs on the side of the wall. You're practically a mega church, I tell you what. This coffee is black. This is you without God. Now, some might say, well, brother, I like black coffee. No, you don't. Coffee is an acquired taste. You know what that means, don't you? It means you get used to it. The first time I had coffee, I didn't like it at all. But the more you drink it, the more you like it. Kind of like our sin sometimes, right? This is us without God. Black coffee. Those of you that have been to 7-Eleven will see someone from time to time, they'll go into their coffee. And they want to make it better, right? And they put all kinds of things in it, Irish cream, vanilla cream, and they just really load it up. They want it to taste better. The Christian world will tell you that you've got to do certain things in order to improve yourself. But I want to show us by the Scripture how we are without God. Romans chapter 3. We'll start in verse 10. Quoting from the Old Testament, Psalm 14 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one that is righteous without God. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Okay, man without God then does not seek God. I can't seek the Lord unless the Lord has already been inside me. Unless I've already been born again of the new birth, I can't seek God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, most of these are familiar to you, I'm sure, says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, the natural man doesn't want anything to do with the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. And I always like to say about the born-again child of God, they are spiritually concerned. They are concerned with the things of God. You and I, this afternoon, are concerned with the things of God because we've been born again of the Spirit, you see. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The same goes for seeking God. You can't seek God on your own. We don't just wake up one morning in our flesh and say, today I'm going to seek God. Something must happen first. We must be born again. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. See, we can't come to Christ unless God draws us first. Isn't this great doctrine? I just love the doctrine of the Bible. I love it. I love what Christ has done for us. And John 6:65, no man can come to me except it were given him unto him of my Father. No man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Aren't you happy for the exceptions of the Bible? I'm glad that there's an exception there. I'm glad that Jesus didn't stop with no man can come to me. That would be pretty sad, wouldn't it? We'd all be lost and undone if we couldn't come to Jesus. But he says, no man can come to me, except there's an exception, it were given unto him of my Father. And then in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him I will nowise cast out. Praise God for that. So this is our state then. This is our natural state without God. We have an evil mind. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's man. His mind is set on evil continually. And if we're not careful, we can fall back into that state. We can just think about sin and wickedness and evil constantly. So we need to watch ourselves, don't we? Mark chapter 7, if you'd like to turn with me there. And boy, the Lord has just drawn me to this text quite a bit lately. Mark chapter 7. And Jesus here, he's talking about the heart of man. And he said, Jesus said this, that which cometh out of man, out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, you hear that? From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And I want you to hear this about the heart this afternoon. You know who's in charge of your heart? You are. When it comes to the hardening of the heart, do you know that nowhere in the scripture you'll find another man or woman hardening the heart of someone else? I cannot harden Brother Marty's heart. If his heart gets hardened, that's on him. He can't harden my heart. If my heart is hardened, that's my fault. That's my problem. Now, God can harden the hearts. Amen. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. But typically, we're in charge of our own hearts. Here he has a list of sins that are written out, and he says all of these come from the heart. Well, if we commit these sins, it's on us. And I think we need a little bit more accountability for our sins, don't we? You know, I've heard a lot lately, someone goes out and they rob a store in the neighborhood, and they say, well, I've robbed the store because of society has put me in this place. I'm sorry, that doesn't hold up to the Word of God. No, you stole because your heart has been hardened and you wanted something for nothing. How about adultery? Someone steps out on their spouse and they want to blame their spouse for what they've done. No, if you've committed such a sin, that's on you because you've hardened your own heart. And my friends, we need to work on our hearts, don't we? And we need to soften them from time to time because God has replaced the heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. But the heart of flesh can go hard sometimes as well. So we need to constantly be thinking about our hearts and softening them to the things of the Lord. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Matthew 15, verse 8, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We can fall into that trap sometimes too, can't we? We serve God with our mouth, but our heart is not where it should be. So one more, Proverbs 6 and 14, forness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. My friends, this is the state we're in without God, and it's not a pretty picture. And we need to understand this picture, that it's not very nice, in order to completely and fully understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. There is not a little good in everybody. In fact, natural man, there is no good in that person. The only good that we have in us comes from God. We're like this black cup of coffee without God. It's black, and guess what? It still doesn't taste very good. Brother Bill, that's not a crack at you. Brother Bill made the coffee. It's not Brother Bill's fault. That's just how coffee is. It's an acquired taste. So what man has devised in their own doctrine is they'll say, well, you need to do certain things to be saved, be eternally saved. And the most common you will hear is, if you will just believe and have faith, you will be saved eternally. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, people will say that. And they'll say, if you just add a little belief, here we go. Here's a little sweet and low. Just, if you just have a little belief, you'll be okay. Put that sweet and low in there. And you can be saved. Yet, I've added it, and I will take a sip. That's still coffee. You know what? It does taste a little better. And note, too, that a higher power just put the sugar into the coffee. In this case, it's me. It feels good to be the higher power for once. You know, the only reason you believe is because God gave you the ability to believe. It's come from a higher power, yet we still have our old nature, don't we? We still have it. It hasn't gone anywhere. But they'll tell us, well, if you will just believe, you can be saved. Well, Romans 3:3 says this, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Can their unbelief trump the faithfulness of God? Paul says, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. And I say, amen to that. See, if you're not faithful, that doesn't mean God's not faithful. When you're not faithful, God is still faithful. And God, excuse me, he dwells within us. And 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Isn't that something? God dwells with us within the new birth. He's inside there. He's not going anywhere. And if we deny God in the flesh, God still cannot deny himself. And I say, praise God to that. And I always say, how come we never see 2 Timothy 2:13 on a billboard? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I think that verse needs to get up on some billboards, don't you? Because it's always this belief. And it's important to believe. You know, Jesus told us to believe in John 14 and verse 1. Let me read that to you. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. God, Jesus says, believe on me. It's important. And in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto the world. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. I don't think that was the right verse I was going for. But I was looking for another verse where Jesus says to believe. So Jesus does declare that we should believe in him and keep his commandments. Yet, even if we do so, it doesn't change the fact that we are what we are as we walk in this life. We're born again, yet we still have this old nature here. So other things men would like to add to salvation, and they'll say, why don't you just add a little baptism? Let me add a little baptism here if I could get this open. This is French vanilla. Anybody like it? Yeah, you like French vanilla? I got these from Bucky's, by the way. Isn't that a convenient place? Well, they'll say if you just add a little baptism, you can be saved. But what does baptism do, friends? Baptism, do you believe that baptism saves us for glory? Yeah. It doesn't. Go read 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 18 through 22. We're clearly told that baptism does not put away the filth of the flesh. Do you know some people will declare that? I've heard it. They'll say, after I've been baptized, I've never sinned again since that moment. Is that your experience? It's not my experience either. After I've been baptized, I've sinned. I have. It doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. But what is baptism? It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. See, we believe that Jesus is sovereign in salvation. We believe that he's paid for all of our sins, every single one of them. And we believe that our home in heaven is secured based on his work and not our works. And when you believe that, you should get baptized. Not in this fake baptistry back here, but the one downstairs. Get baptized if you believe those things. I'd encourage you to do that if you haven't done so already. But the world will say you have to get baptized in order to be eternally saved. Yet when I take a drink, well, it's still coffee, isn't it? It's still coffee. It does taste a little better. It's getting better and better. Doesn't sugar make everything better? And certainly artificial flavors makes things great. It does taste a little bit better. And you know what? If you get baptized, you'll be a little bit easier to be around. If you let me tell you this too. If you believe in Jesus Christ and follow him, you'll be a little bit easier to be around. You'll taste better, for lack of a better word. But my friends, what I'm trying to get across is that it does not save you for glory. Well, what about good works? They'll say if your good works will just outweigh your bad works, you can go to glory. Because when you get up there, St. Peter's going to be there with a big scale. And he's going to take your sin and your good works and he's going to weigh them and see which one comes out on top. You know, you won't find that in the scripture anywhere, by the way. They'll say you got to do these good works in order to be saved. Well, what does God say about good works when it comes to salvation? Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness, you hear this? Our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That's what God thinks about our good works. They're as filthy rags. I believe David said, a man in his best state is altogether vanity. Man, at your best day as a Christian is altogether vanity in the eyes of God when it comes to eternal salvation. That's the truth of the scripture. He is not impressed with us. He's just not. The best day is altogether vanity. That means nothingness, that word vanity there. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, even so at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Don't you love that? All right, if we're eternally saved by grace, then it's no more of works. It can't be. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If any one of the works that I just listed, which they all are works, by the way, including belief. Belief is a work. You know, it takes energy to form a thought, by the way. Belief is a work. If any of the works I've listed plays a part in getting us into glory, then we are not saved by grace at all. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So what Paul is saying there in that verse is it's either one or the other. And when it comes to eternal salvation, grace and works are like oil and water. And you know what that, when you put oil and water in a jar, what happens? They separate. They will not join up. They will not combine. And that's what Paul is saying here. But yet the Christian world will tell us that if you just do more good works than bad works, you'll be saved. You'll be allowed to go to heaven. Well, here now I've got some half and half. I'm going to add it. Just a little half and half. No more sugar. I don't want to get too hyped up here, you know. Start thinking I'm a charismatic. Well, let's see what this does here. Well, it does taste a little bit better, doesn't it? It does. But it's still coffee. It's still coffee. They say, talk about the fruit of the Spirit quite a bit. Got to have faith, got to show love, and all this and the other. They'll say, you got to add that in. Add that in that you may be saved. Well, the only reason we have any of those attributes from the fruit of the Spirit, my friends, is because God has given us those in the new birth. Amen? Can't earn those things. Those things are given to us in the new birth. The fruit of the Spirit. of the Spirit. And once again, all of these things that I've listed, good works. Again, we can't do anything without God. Without God, we are nothing. We can do no good works. Without God, we wouldn't want to get baptized. There is only one baptism, by the way. You wouldn't want to get baptized into the true, with the true baptism. Without His grace, without His grace and mercy and His working upon us, we cannot, would not, and would never want to believe in Him. All of these things, if you have partaken in them and done them and have felt them, thank God for those experiences that you've had in God's kingdom. Because if He never born you again of the Spirit, you wouldn't have done any of those things that are previously listed. So here we are. We have this black cup of coffee. And I know it's the afternoon. I'm not going to keep you long. I know it. We have this black cup of coffee. And it's an interesting thing. You know what's an interesting thing? Our natures. It's an interesting thing that we have this old nature that doesn't want anything to do with God. But yet God gives us this new nature. And that's awesome, amen? I'm glad that we have it. And I'm glad that I've done some of these things and am able to continue to do them and to live that way. Because I want to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. But yet, if we're all honest with ourselves this afternoon, we know that we all struggle. Don't we? We all struggle with sin. Our spiritual nature is wrestling with our carnal nature. And I wish I could tell you this afternoon that at some point in your life, you won't have to struggle with that any longer. But that's not true. That's not the case. You will struggle with your dual nature until the day that you die. But I thank God this afternoon, because one day, in that glorious day, when Jesus Christ comes back, and He is coming back one day, do you believe that?
Yes.
And our bodies, whether they be here or whether they be in the graves, they're going to come out and they're going to be raised up. And our bodies will meet with our soul and spirit in the air, and we'll have a glorified body. Do you believe that? We'll have a body just like Jesus has today. And this corruption, this corrupted flesh, whose flesh in here is corrupted? Mine is. It's corrupt, I tell you what. But this corrupt flesh one day is going to put on incorruption. And this body that is so, it's dishonorable, my friends. This body is dishonorable. But one day it's going to put on glory. This weakness, you know, my flesh is weak, I'll tell you what. And the older I get, yes, and I know I'm still a younger man, but it's starting to, I told you yesterday, my hair is starting to fall out. And the pains and the aches, they're coming slowly but surely. The things that used to not bother me at all physically, like playing basketball. Now, I don't shoot hoops anymore, basically. And when I do, I keep my feet on the ground, Brother Levi. Because my knees will just ache so badly after I get done playing. And the point is our flesh gets weak. It gets sick. It's frail and it's infirm. But one day it's going to be raised in power. Amen? It's going to be raised in something different. This natural body that I have, which I'm thankful for. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for what God has given me, this natural body. But because of Adam, this natural body is dying day in and day out. But one day, when Christ comes back, this weakness, this frail and weak natural body is going to be raised with a spiritual body. Oh, and nothing will be able to touch it. No disease, no weariness, no tiredness, no sickness. This body will be raised in a spiritual body, and I will be like Jesus, and I will know Him as I ought to know Him. Oh, don't you just feel sometimes that we only get a glimpse here? You know, one day we're going to know Jesus Christ exactly how He is. And I look forward to that day. So what I'm trying to get across to you, and I'm going to close in this, that one day, this black cup of coffee that has all this other goodness added to it, but it's still weak, One day, this black cup of coffee, it's going to be turned into a glass of champagne. And my friends, when that day happens, it's going to be time to celebrate. I love you, and I hope to see you there, and I know I will see you there. And that if I never see you again in this world, I know I'm going to see you in that last day when all of God's children are gathered together from the four corners of the earth, and we're going to rise up into the sky to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, that's going to be a good day. Comfort one another with those words. May God bless you, is my prayer.